We're going to talk about in awe of the gift. And so the whole month, we're going to talk about different aspects of the gift of Jesus Christ. And so this week, it's in awe of the gift, the visitation. Next week, it'll be in awe of the gift, deliverance and freedom. And then the third week in December, Pastor Caleb, our youth pastor, is going to come and speak. And so I think that'll be cool. Do you guys think that'll be cool? Awesome. He's going to be here, and we're excited about that. And then on in the last Sunday, and we're having the kids' Christmas concert. We're going to wrap it up, and it's going to be the focus on Jesus, and my sermon title then is going to be Moved Into the Neighborhood. Okay, so so far. All right. So visitation today. I want you to look in Judges chapter 6, and is this a Christmas story? Well, not really, except it does talk about the powerful gift of visitation, and we're moving into that. We had Advent candles here, and we'll talk about that a bit. But the reality is that Christ is the focus of our lives, and so we need to understand that out of the gift of him coming and dying for our salvation and giving us healing and all those kind of things and giving us a life with peace and joy and love, we need to understand that he did visit before. He did visit people before. Jesus actually visited people before in the Old Testament. And so he's not just born on Christmas Day, which a lot of theologians will argue with anyway, that it wasn't Christmas Day. And so we're not going to argue theology here. I'm just saying that Jesus Christ was born, amen? And so, and then he lived, and then he died on the cross. And so from that, we have salvation. So I want to talk to you about this. Here it says in verses 11 and 12, one day the angel of God came and sat down under the oak trees in Ophrah. That's not the TV show, okay? Oprah. That belonged to Joash, the Abizrite, whose son Gideon was threshing wheat in the winepress out of the sight of the Midianites. Why was that? Why was he kind of out of the sight? Why was he threshing wheat? Because the Midianites had been overrun the Israelites, and they would come in and they would destroy everything. They had, it says in scriptures that they had camels, innumerable camels, that they came in and they raided everything and they killed all the animals and they burned all their fields. And so these people were living in caves and dwellings, and they were living under this captivity of these raiders. And so for Gideon or anyone to be out threshing in plain sight would mean that he would probably be killed and everything that he had would be destroyed. And now listen to this. The angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, God is with you, O mighty warrior. What is this angel of God? Have you read that before in the Old Testament? Angel of God is quite often referred to. Jacob wrestled with the angel of God. I think Jacob wrestled with Jesus. What do you think? I think he wrestled, and then Jesus said, hey, you know what? Dude, we've been wrestling for a long time, so I'm just going to knock your hip out of shape. And so it dislocated his hip, and then from that time on, Jacob just walked with a limp. Jesus and the Holy Spirit and the Father joined together with Abraham in chapter 12 of Genesis. And it says that these three angels came and visited Abraham while he's sitting around his fire. And Abraham said, you know, like, wait a minute here, I'll get some food and get you some food, and we'll just kind of talk. And so he fed them, because that's a hospitality piece that was so important in that culture and still is in ours. And they said, we're here to tell you that in a year from now, you're going to have a baby. And he goes, okay, you know. Like, I'm probably 99, and Sarah, she's no spring chicken either. She's just not. She's She's kind of past the age of childbearing. And so in the tent, because it was close by, they're sitting at the campfire, and Sarah had helped make the food. And when she heard this, she laughed. She said, you know, and then they said, why did you laugh, Sarah? And she says, no, I never. You want to believe that God knows what's going on in your life. But what these are is they're appearances or theophanies of God coming in. That's a big word. Theophanies is the manifestation of the image of God in somebody's life. And what a beautiful thing. I've had testimonies about Muslim people who were really strong in their Muslim faith, and God has appeared to them. That's a theophany. That's actually the presence of God, Jesus, come into their lives. Isn't that awesome? God is still doing that. God is still present. God is still doing supernatural things. And we can go, you know, well, that's kind of spooky, and I don't know about it. Well, you don't know about it because you have to understand that God is not natural. He's supernatural. He was natural for the time of Jesus on the earth, but he is supernatural. And he works in a different realm. He lives in a different realm, and he's invited us into that realm. So the angel of God appeared to him and said, God is with you, O mighty warrior. A mighty warrior. He explains it here in a minute, but O mighty warrior, hiding out, threshing wheat. O mighty warrior. You know, you're hiding. So Gideon, I love this. Gideon just talked to God the way that he had on his heart. Can you do that? Can you say, I'm a little ticked with you, God. I'm a little disappointed. Or do you say, no, God, you're so good, you know, all the time, and yet that's not one of the times. So I love Gideon here. He says, with me, my master, if God is with us, or, yeah, with me, like I'm the mighty warrior, with me, my master, if God is with us, why has this happened to us? Where are the miracles and wonders our parents and grandparents told us about? Where are they? Where are they today? Where are they? Are they because we have special speakers come in and they work in this area in different parts of the world? They're here. Do you know that they're here? They're here. Didn't God deliver us from Egypt? The fact is, God has nothing to do with us. He has turned us over to Midian. Wow. See, the angel of God is God, because it says here, and God faced him directly. Now, think what that would be like. God's talking to you, and you just kind of let off a little steam, and then he goes, let me talk to you, boy. I want to tell you something. Go in the strength that is yours. Save Israel from Midian. Haven't I just sent you? And Gideon said to him, me, my master? How and with what could I ever save Israel? Look at me. My clan's the weakest in Manasseh. I'm the runt of the litter. Have you ever thought of yourself that way? Scripture's full of that. Scripture's full of stories like that. David, the runt of the litter. David came and he had nothing. He had nothing in the military expertise to go and fight anybody. But God chose him and God enabled him to go. Every one of you here is a David or a Gideon. Do you know that? Because you're equipped with Christ and the Holy Spirit and the love of the Father. You can do these things and greater. That's the scripture. You can do these things and greater. You. And so I say you say me. I can do these. Me can do these. All right? Do you understand that? It's not just a Gideon. It's not just a David. And we read the stories about him. It's you. Every one of you has the same power, the same anointing, the same blessings, and the same opportunities that Jesus did, given the opportunity to be obedient and bold. And God said to him, I'll be with you. Do you need God to be with you? He is. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'm with you. And so he's talking with Gideon just like this. Gideon, you know, like I'm trying to get you to understand the truth. I believe I'll be with you, believe me. You'll defeat Midian as one man. That's a lot of pressure, eh? You ever been under a lot of pressure where somebody was expecting you to do something and said, oh yeah, you can do it? Gideon said, if you're serious, you ever said that to God? Seriously? Come on. Seriously? He says, if you're serious about this, do me a favor. Now, we're talking, like, this is God. Like, I love it. Like, he just doesn't say, oh, God, yes, I will. I'll go right now. He says, just wait a minute, God. Look, if you're really serious, like, God, when is God not serious? Right? Come on, think about it. When has he not been serious in your life? But Gideon is so honest in his heart, he says, so if you are serious about this, do me a favor. Do me a favor. Give me a sign to back up what you're telling me. And we know the story goes on about the fleece back and forth, stand on the edge, you know, make it red, make it pink, make it wet, make it dry, make it, all that kind of stuff. I don't know how many of you done the fleece thing, but when we were first saved, we were doing fleeces all the time. There was a bunch of naked sheep running along because we had fleeces out for Jesus all the time. He says, give me a sign so what you're telling me is true. Don't leave till I come back. So in other words, he's telling God, sit right there. Okay, if you're serious, you will sit there till I get back. Who's got the jam to say, God, okay, look, I understand what you said, but just sit right there. I'll be back. I'll be back. Like, okay, yeah, well, God's got not much to do anyway, right? And he's always submissive to us. But don't you love the story? Don't you love the way that Gideon just entered into the relationship with his heart? He says, don't leave until I come back and I'll bring you my gift. And God said, I'll wait till you get back. I don't think Gideon thought he might not wait, but I just love the conversation. I don't know whether I'd have the jam to do that. Really, God? You just wait here. Wait here. Gideon went up and prepared a young goat and a huge amount of unraised bread and raised about a half a bushel of flour, and he put the meat in a basket and the broth in a pot and took them back under the shade of the oak tree for a sacred meal. So he was bringing the hospitality. Can you imagine? We just had it. Can you imagine sitting down, first of all, telling God, just wait, okay? Just wait. I'll be back with some. What do you think? How many of you cook for other people? You kind of would like to make a good meal, right? This is God. This is God. I wonder what his tastes are like. Does he like Indian? Does he like Chinese? Does he like spices? Does he like garlic? Is he Italian? You know, like, what do you cook? What do you cook for God? Like, he likes it all. So do I. But it's true. It's just like, what would you be in the kitchen doing this and going, what do I do? What? And he brought this out. And the angel of God said to him, take the meat and the unraised bread, place them on that rock and pour the broth on them. Take them and place them on a rock. This is so beautiful. And the angel of God stretched out the tip of his stick that he was holding and touched the meat and the bread. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. Your rod and your staff. Jesus. Isn't that Jesus our shepherd? And Jesus has this stick. It doesn't say anything about the stick until now. It was a common thing to have a walking stick or a stick of authority or whatever in that day. But he just took the stick and he tapped the offering. And it says, out from the rock, fire consumed the offering. Isn't that awesome? Who's the rock? Jesus Christ is the rock that we stand on. Jesus Christ is who we know as the rock and the church that the rock that Peter was to build the church on. It wasn't Peter the rock, it was Jesus the rock. And this thing is burning. You don't think that would get your attention? Like, come on. There's this rock, and you put the stuff on the rock, and all of a sudden the rock opens up and burns it? And at the same time, the angel or the theophany of God slipped out of sight. And Gideon knew it was the angel of God. Gideon knew it was the angel of God. Do you know that Christ visits you? Do you allow him? Are you able to talk with him the way Gideon talked with him? And we're going to go into next week, we're going to talk about deliverance and how God picked Gideon to lead the Israelites out and to destroy a complete nation with a small amount of people. Sometimes we look overwhelming at this world and we go, there's no way that we can do what we're called to do because there's just too much to do. So we need to get serious with God and say, hey, wait a minute. If you're really serious, I mean, if you're really talking to me, if you really mean it, if you are really who you are, is basically what he's saying, then tell me, show me. He didn't say, give me a sign then. But God gave him a sign. The rock exploded and consumed the offering. And he said, I know this was God. Now in the Old Testament, it was written that if you seen God, you're dead. Like you could not look upon the face of God. So there he is. Now he's probably really scared. Well, he is scared. Because it was kind of like God led him along and then he's going to snuff him out. Sometimes we feel that in our walk. We're going to get real close to God, get real vulnerable to God. And then all of a sudden, it just seems like we have fear inside of us. God's calling us to do something. God's equipping us to do something. God's just speaking to you about doing something individually. And you go, oh no, this is? That you're going to cause me to fail. You're going to cause me to do something where I'm going to lose my life. You're going to cause me. That's a normal human reaction. There's a song that really touches my heart, and it's a new Christmas song. And maybe some of you know it. How many kings stepped down from their thrones? How many lords have abandoned their homes? How many greats have become the least for me? How many gods have poured out their hearts to romance a world that's all torn apart? How many fathers gave up their sons for me? We do not serve a God that doesn't love us. We serve a Father in heaven who loves us. There is not another religion in this whole entire universe could say that. Jesus came down from his throne to talk to Gideon. He just came down from his throne to talk to Abraham. He talked to so many people in the Old Testament. How many kings? How many kings in our world that we know, even reading, there is no one that I know from, and I haven't read all history, but no one. It's all about them. You know, Jesus, it's all about us. He wants you to have the best. we have the precious opportunity that Gideon didn't have, at least in his understanding, so we can see God. We don't have the fear of being killed. So after God had spoke to him, Gideon says, "Oh no, oh no, Master God, I have seen the angel of God face to face." But God reassured him, "Easy now, don't panic. You're not going to die." And Gideon built an altar there to God and named it God's Peace. Do you have his peace today? Elaine, I'd like you to come and light the first candle. And I know we're a bit out of order here as far as the way things are supposed to go with the Advent. But I believe that we need to just recognize this morning the peace of God, because he now has given us peace. I really love the Christmas season, and for years and years I didn't. But I love hearing about Jesus on the radio, and I love hearing about Jesus as I walk into the markets and I walk into different places. So the first Advent calendar for us is peace. Peace. Pastor Randy's going to sing maybe just that chorus over a few times as you respond to him this morning. Respond to him. Just think about the song, the words of that song, because songs are like sermons I look at. I just really feel that there's an anointing upon people who can write songs that last through the centuries, or just are specific for a particular time or a particular congregation. This morning, God wants to speak into your heart. If you don't have that peace, maybe it's because you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. It's the most important thing that you can have, and it's the most precious gift that you can ever receive. And it's the most precious gift that God can receive, because that's why he came, to receive you through his blood. So I want you to stand with me. We have a prayer team. I want you to think about, do I have that peace in my life? And before you come forward, I want you just to think about this. Maybe the peace is lacking because you don't have the Prince of Peace living inside of you. It's so simple. This is the question. Will you accept Jesus Christ and his gift of salvation this morning? And if you will, here's how you do it. And I want everybody's head to be bowed. No one looking around. Honestly, I would appreciate that. Maybe there's someone here who doesn't know Jesus Christ. Could you just put your hand up? What you're doing is you're signifying, praise God. Is anyone else? Praise God. Anyone in the balcony there? Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. This is so precious. The Holy Spirit's moving inside of your life, and you haven't, maybe you made a commitment on time and you feel like you're so far away. Oh man, you aren't. He is so close to you. And his Holy Spirit now is moving in your heart. Thank you, Jesus. Anyone else? Anyone else? Thank you, Jesus. So I want you to say this prayer after with me. Everyone say this out loud. Thank you, Jesus, for coming and dying for my sins. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for loving me the way you do. I ask right now, would you forgive my sins?
Forgive my sins.
I be free.
That I be free.
Would you come and live in my life?
Would you come and live in my life?
Would you be my Lord?
To be my Lord.
And my best friend.
My best friend.
And my Savior.
My Savior.
I receive you now.
Receive you now.
In your precious name, Jesus.
In your precious name.
Amen. Maybe you said that prayer many times over, and maybe you've been a Christian for a long time, but you don't have that peace that candle represents there. If you don't have that peace, then you need to maybe just have somebody pray with you, somebody to lay hands on you, and the darkness that would move away from you would be the enemy separating you, isolating you from the family of God and from the love of Jesus. That's why you don't have the peace. Nothing magical about it. It's just that when you're in his presence, when you're in the presence of the king, what king would come down and hang out with you? Really? Really? Gideon hiding in, and he's and you know what God is saying to you right now? Mighty warrior? Oh, really? Mighty warrior, I want to bring peace into your life. Mighty warrior, I want you to see what I have planned for you. Mighty warrior, I want you to know that you are confident that you will not be destroyed by the enemy. Mighty warrior, I want you to know my peace. If that's you this morning, then I invite you to come, and a prayer team, if you just come. I want you to come as Pastor Randy sings this over a few times, that just the chorus piece was so beautiful. And then we're just going to spend some time praying for you. So we invite you to do that.